Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher and a very special guest whom we'll introduce in just a moment. I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, a special edition of Basic Gospel, so the phone lines are not open, as we welcome to the Basic Gospel studio a man Bob Christopher has been telling us about for many, many years, and today we finally get to meet him. He is Abraham Hillel, a very highly regarded historian of the nation of Israel, and who will be our tour guide as we visit the Holy Land this coming February. Abraham, welcome to Basic Gospel. It's great to finally meet you.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you. Thank you for the welcome. Thank you, Bob. I'm stuck here between two Bobs, and I'm bobbing along. Thank you, and I'm looking forward to being with you.
Well, Abraham, as Bob said, I've been talking about you for many years. I was blessed to be on a trip that you guided through, a group that you guided through, the wonderful land of Israel back in 1998. Your passion for Israel, your passion for the history, for what's up ahead, was just so contagious. I fell in love with you back then, and you've just been one of my favorite people ever since. So we are so excited to welcome you to the broadcast today. You have been guiding groups through Israel for 33 years. You are passionate about that job. You were born in India. You currently reside in Jerusalem. Tell us a little bit how you got involved in guiding groups through Israel.
Well, I'm very passionate for my country. I'm very passionate for my religion. And I love being with people. And I like trying to make sense of what is a history for me, but is a religion, whether you happen to be Jewish or Christian or even Muslim, there is some sort of historical basis. And unless you understand the history, the religion sometimes can be difficult to understand. Because what is a religion today was once a history.
Yes. And I think that's, you know, we say that on our radio broadcast quite often, that, you know, when we're talking about Christianity, we're talking about, you know, a place, Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, where an actual person, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, was crucified, buried, and then was raised back to life. And we see the history of that, and that's why, you know, we have something solid to stand upon. This isn't just a blind leap, and you bring that to bear so well as you move people through the group. One of the things that I really like about you and how you handle these different groups is that you're a real storyteller. You have a start, you have an end, there's direction that you bring to the whole experience. And so tell us a little bit about that, what you want people to really gain as they go over to Israel.
Look, I want to try and make people understand how things transpired and why they transpired that way. You have to remember that we're not talking about something that occurred 2,000 years ago. There was no email, no text, no telephones. There were no cars. Journeys, distances, the time taken to travel those distances played great factors in the way things transpired. Jewish tradition, why Jesus did certain things was because he was an observant Jewish person. And he had to follow the laws, and certain things restricted him on how far he could travel on certain days. The Sabbath played an important factor. The religious festivals played an important factor. Jesus understood all those things, and it governed what happened to him. It governed what happened to him. The fact that he got involved in conflict with the religious authorities is not something I'm telling you. Everybody knows that. And the religious authorities had reached a situation where they had become, unfortunately, over-corrupted in what they were doing. And that's what Jesus was objecting to. And that's what they were trying to resist. And it ended up in a confrontation, which unfortunately reached a stage that ended in the eventual crucifixion of Jesus.
Yeah. So there's a lot of political intrigue. You bring that to bear in all of these groups, you know, the relationship of Israel and the rulers to Rome and all of the interesting relationships that were involved there and how that shaped what was going on in Israel at that particular time. It's just absolutely fascinating, isn't it?
Bob, Rome simply didn't understand two of the countries that it had conquered. And the two countries I'm talking about here are Egypt and the land of Israel, or Judea and Israel. In most of the other countries they took over, the cultures were nowhere near as advanced, as they were in Egypt and in Israel. Egypt had its own deities. Judaism had this one invisible God, all-powerful, omnipotent God. And the Romans simply couldn't understand why these Jewish stiff-necked, as Moses called us, if you remember, were not ready to accept all the different gods that they had for every single thing, including the God of overindulgence and games.
Yes.
And we just wanted this one totally invisible God and rejected what the Romans were trying to force down on the people. And the people weren't ready to accept it. Some did, some didn't. And there was the conflict.
And it was a conflict.
It was a major conflict. And the Romans could not get their heads around it. And don't forget that these two countries, Egypt and Israel, were the breadbasket of Rome. Massive amount of food came from there for Rome. The bulk of the trade going north, south, east, west between the major continents of the ancient world. Forget the Americas for the moment. But if you look at a map, when Ezekiel in chapter 5, verse 5 says, Jerusalem is the center of the world and all the countries around about her. It's a fact. The only bridge joining those continents was there. So valuable trade, a lot of taxation went through there. And despite the fact that we were a pain in the butt for the Romans, the Romans realized the value of where they were.
Well, when you look at Israel and you think, well, why that land? And then if you look at the map, you can kind of see, oh, I get it. That's why. Because it was the trade route to Europe, to Asia, to Africa.
All the major trades went through there.
Yes. So if you conquered Israel, you basically conquered the world. So, you know, the Babylonian Empire and then the Persian and then the Greek and then the Rome, their first point of strategy was to conquer Israel, right?
Absolutely.
And so once they gained that, their power was worldwide.
Imagine how much taxation was generated for all the trade. The trade coming from the east, spices, silks, going to basically Egypt.
Yes.
By the time it's reached, crossing through what was Israel, it had become very valuable. Gold, precious stones, exotic animals coming out of Egypt and going east also crossed it. Everything was taxed when it came in and when it went out. And now that the Roman Empire is now in charge of everything all the way to Britain, now the market has not just doubled in size, it has gone up
exponentially,
by huge numbers. So you can imagine the value of what was there, and the routes, the trade that went by there. And if I can take it a little bit further, when Herod came to power, that is what he utilized to generate all the finance to enable him to build whatever he built. And that's why he's known as Herod the Great.
And he was an incredible builder. I mean, we have the temple that he finished out. It took 46 years to finish that out. There's a replica of that in Jerusalem
yes.
that we will get to see on the trip.
Yes.
That is absolutely fascinating.
Yes.
And then he built all kinds of palaces for himself. Masada, we'll get to visit what he built at Masada. There's several others. He was just an incredible builder, but he was also a maniacal leader, a tyrant, and just ruthless with how he ruled over Israel.
Look, when Herod came to power, just before he came to power, he seemed to have upset Cleopatra. For that reason, even though he had the support of Rome, he never forgot that he'd upset Cleopatra. He built himself 9 fortresses on his southern border. Masada is one of those 9 fortresses. Just in case she attacked him, he had somewhere to go. He rebuilt the temple, he rebuilt Jerusalem, Caesarea Philippi, and he built Caesarea on the sea. Caesarea Maritima is where Peter converts the first 1,000 Gentiles. Yes?
Yes, Cornelius.
And it's that, Cornelius and the other 1,000. And it's that port that eventually ended up shipping the product to Rome, to Europe. So all the taxation that he generated there ended up in financing his ego. And it's his ego that he wanted to be remembered by. And he became the master builder of all time anywhere, anywhere. Forget Halliburton or whatever you call it. I'm talking about Herod the Great.
Yeah.
Incorporated. He
yeah.
knew how to manipulate the Romans. He knew exactly how to manipulate the Romans. Yeah. And unfortunately, during that time, the most significant event to hit the face of this earth occurs in a little village just south of Jerusalem. And the name of that village? Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Davis, Bob Christopher, Abraham Hillel is here with us today. We're talking about Israel. We're going to be going to Israel February 7th through the 18th in 2017. We want you to come join us. It is the most fascinating place on the planet. And as you hear Abraham describe kind of the history, some of the places, we are praying that it will motivate you to jump off the fence and come join us next February. And all the information is on our website, isn't it, Bob?
BasicGospel.net. The events tab has all that information, including an opportunity to get registered. But wow, what a trip it's going to be. Abraham, we talk about the spiritual aspects. We talk about the historical aspects of this wonderful nation of Israel. And as Bob said, we'll be planning a trip. We are planning a trip this coming February. Those of us who will be going, what can we expect weather-wise? How do we prepare for that? And
February. Yep. Look, we're in the Northern Hemisphere, so the climate is pretty much the same as you'll get in the Northern Hemisphere anywhere around the world. It's wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
Wintertime in Israel. And the Bible talks about the first rains and the latter rains.
Uh-huh.
This is the time for the latter rains. In the north of the country, around the Sea of Galilee, where you'll spend a lot of time, where the ministry of Jesus was based around the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum or Capernaum, it's going to be relatively mild rain you can expect, but not cold weather. Once you get to Jerusalem, now we've gone up.
Right.
We've gone up from being about 700 feet below sea level to 2,700 feet above sea level. That elevation, of course, changes the temperature. And you can expect sunny days. You can expect rain. You can expect even maybe sandstorms from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mix.
Mm-hmm.
maybe even snow. So weather-wise, you have to be prepared.
Can we order something special in advance?
I will arrange it. Okay. Over there, it's a local call.
Yeah. I have two friends coming from very different backgrounds as far as travel to the Holy Land. One who is fearful to the nth degree of what she hears in the news media. The other travels to Israel all the time and says, there's no issue. I don't even know anything is going on. Where do those two meet?
Brother Bob, look, firstly, I will be, seems silly if I was to say nothing is happening. Things are happening, unfortunately, but I think we've got a handle on most of it. But I have no doubt that you will find you will not come into any contact with it and you will feel perfectly comfortable and at home and enjoy yourself. Perfectly comfortable. Well, the media, 1 minute, please. The media, I'm sorry to say, whether it's international media, whether it's Israeli media, for most intents and purposes, have got their own agendas.
Absolutely.
There we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's safe. Tourism is on the rise. More and more people are traveling to Israel today than they were several years ago. I think that's a wonderful sign. Of all the places that you take groups, what is your favorite place to introduce to new visitors to Israel?
Jerusalem by far. Jerusalem by far. And if they happen to be Christians, then of course you're going to deal with what Jesus got involved in when he was in and around Jerusalem. The temple, the Mount of Olives, Gethsemane, the trial by Caiaphas, eventually his trial by Pontius Pilate, and the crucifixion, entombment, and resurrection.
Yeah, it is the most fascinating city in the world, and it's a city that really opens up its arms wide and welcomes you and just embraces you. I've been there a number of times. It just feels like home. There's something special about Jerusalem, isn't there?
Brother Bob, this is something that a lot of, especially if you happen to be a Christian or Jewish for that matter, you read in the Bible every day. Jerusalem in the Old Testament is mentioned more than 500 times. In the New Testament, it's mentioned more than 150 times. You're going to be walking where you've only had an imagination when you're reading. There, you're going to be walking in the footsteps of somebody who walked 2,000 years ago.
It's amazing.
Yes, and archaeological speaking, they have really uncovered, the actual stones where Jesus could have walked around the temple, for example, there in Jerusalem. You see some of the, like the Pool of Bethesda. Yeah, it's actually there. They've uncovered it, and then the columns, how the stories really describe it. It's like there it is. It's quite fascinating to see.
Pastor Bob, Jerusalem has been destroyed several times, and some of them major destruction since the time of Jesus. It's been destroyed even before the time of Jesus several times, but since the time of Jesus, there have been major destructions by the Romans, by the Persians, by the Muslims after the Crusaders. So it's been 3 or 4 times major destruction, and it's been covered up, but the remains are still underneath. That's the fortunate issue. In that part of the world, even though people destroyed what they didn't want, they never bothered to take away the debris. They simply covered it up and built above it. And that's where archaeology comes into it. And some of those stones still exist today and are still being used by people, especially on roadways, to walk on.
Well, we're going to start our trip. We're going to fly into Tel Aviv. We're going to spend the night on the Mediterranean coast in a little seaside village that's absolutely beautiful. We'll kind of get our legs underneath us. And then we're going to move up the coast to Caesarea, where Pontius Pilate would have lived. That's a fascinating place. Then we're going to move over to Nazareth and see that village and go into a temple there. Then we're going to go to the Sea of Galilee and spend a couple of days around the Sea of Galilee. And then we're actually going to go up to Caesarea Philippi, which is one of my favorite places. I absolutely love that. Just the question that Jesus asked of his disciples, who do you say that I am? I mean, Jesus had caused quite a stir with his claims, with his miracles, with the way in which he taught, one with authority, as the gospel writers record. But that's the first part, and then we will venture south. And as you read the scriptures, when people went from Galilee to Jerusalem, they would always say, we're going up to Jerusalem. And you're going to find out exactly why they said that. Even though we're going south, we're actually going up in elevation, as you mentioned just a few minutes ago. And then we're going to spend the rest of our time there in Jerusalem. We will take a one-day trip down to the Dead Sea. We're going to see En Gedi, Qumran, Masada. That's just a fascinating day journey. And then, you know, the final day, we're going to retrace the footsteps of Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane to Golgotha, Calvary, and the empty tomb. And it's just one of the most spiritually empowering, I think, journeys that you can take to see what actually happened and to be there. I mean, to absolutely be there. There's nothing like it as far as I know.
Bob, I think for those of us who grew up with biblical history, and even if you didn't become exposed to biblical history until later in life, I think to go to those places, realize where you're standing, it is literally sometimes jaw-dropping.
Jaw-dropping, life-changing.
Yep. Pastor Bob, let me just add a little bit. You said going up to Jerusalem. Okay, there's two things with this up. Pilgrimage in Hebrew is aliyah. Aliyah means going up. If you're going up in a lift, you go up, aliyah. Ani ole. But over there, it was twofold. One, you're going up spiritually. You're going up from the very depths of the earth, Jericho, the lowest place on earth, to the very pinnacle of their spiritual life. Yep.
Yes.
So, going up from the depths of the earth to the pinnacle of Mount Moriah, where the temple was, and you're going up spiritually to the very pinnacle of your spiritual life.
The Psalms of Ascension.
That's why they're called the Psalms of Ascent.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They would go up with anticipation in their minds, joy in their hearts, the psalms on their lips, and in the dust and in the heat, they would trudge up all the way up.
Yeah. Well, one of the times we went, we traveling and we come up Mount Scopus, the backside, and through a tunnel, and you reach the crest of the hill, and you just look out, and there's the city. And we stopped and we wept. I mean, just the sight of Jerusalem. There wasn't a dry eye on our bus, and we just stood there and gazed at the place where our redemption was purchased, where all of this history happened. There was never a moment like that other than sitting in front of the empty tomb, where it just gripped your heart and said, this is it. This is real. These aren't just fairy tales. This really happened. And Abraham, we're so grateful that you're going to be our guide. I wouldn't have picked anyone other than you. I love your passion. It's contagious. And I tell you, folks, you will absolutely fall in love with Abraham from the first moment you meet him.
I kind of like him already.
Yes, and he is going to make this trip the best you could ever imagine. So come join us next February 7th through the 18th, All the details on our website.
Eileen Mason and Evelyn Wheeler of the Israel Tour Group have put together a wonderful, wonderful tour for us, and we hope you will take advantage of the opportunity to be with us, as Bob said, February 7th through the 18th. All the information online at basicgospel.net. Click the events tab. Again, Abraham, I would like to add my thanks to you for being here as well. So, friends, for our very special guest, Abraham Hillel, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll be here for a live edition tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.